Avos per Gimel, Mishnah Tes 3:9, and in some versions it's the middle of 3:7. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. This Rabbi Yaakov, it's not even clear exactly who he is necessarily. Maybe he's the father of Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov. He said, "Hamahalach b'derech, if one's going on the path, v'shona, and he's learning. Umafsik b'mishnah so, and he interrupts his learning, v'omer, and he exclaims, ma na'a ilan zeh, wow, what a gorgeous tree. Uma na'a nir zeh, or he says, wow, what a gorgeous field. Nir means like a plowed field. Ma'ale alav akasav, the verse that can be applied to him, ki ilu mischayv benafsho, it's as if he is responsible for his own life. In other words, he's on something grievously terrible. Now that's a heavy Mishnah. Now why? Now what is going on over here? So, the simplest way to explain this, but I'm going to go a little deeper and take more face value, is we saw in a couple of Mishnahs ago that one who is Mahalach Baderech, if he walks by himself alone, then he needs the Haganah, the protection of Torah, and if he forsakes that, then that's dangerous and it's his own fault. Okay, you could say that's a pshat in the Mishnah and sort of downplay the whole thing, but that's not, to my mind, the point of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is focusing not on just interrupting his learning, but the point is that he's diverting his attention from the learning to admiring the beautiful world around him. So now, what's so bad about that? And the answer is, admiring the beautiful world around you is not so bad at all. To the contrary, it's a bit of a mitzvah. There's even brachas to be said, and it's a great thing to do. But not if it means interrupting your Torah study. And let me explain why. There are basically two ways, says the Rambam, that a person can come to know Hashem and develop their relationship, either through the revelation of the Torah or through the creation. And both are important and legitimate. And believe me, I'm all for appreciating Hashem's creation. You know I wrote a book, Signs Behind the Mishnah, recently. I love hiking and biking and skiing and scuba diving. I love seeing Hashem's beautiful world. But if you want to have a relationship with Hashem, the primary way is through the Torah. And the secondary way is by appreciating His creation. So there's something that is not okay with taking your attention away from the primary and going for the secondary. And let me try to explain why. In a way, by appreciating the beautiful world around you, you're potentially actually driving a wedge between you and Hashem. That sounds counterintuitive, because a person who's admiring the world and says, wow, this is Hashem's gorgeous world, seems to be connecting to Hashem. But it doesn't have to be that way. You understand? I heard that Rav Shlomo Volbe, for example, so when he left Germany, he was for a time in yeshiva in Montreux, Switzerland, there on Lake Geneva. It's a picture perfect postcard town on the lake with the mountains. It's gorgeous. And he said that to his surprise, he felt that over time being in the yeshiva, he felt more distant from Hashem. And he felt the reason for his feeling distant was actually because of the grandeur of the beauty of the place, which is really counterintuitive. I heard this from Rav Leib Kelman. So why would that be? What's the mechanism? The mechanism is that a person gets so involved in focusing on this extraordinary world, so that diverts his attention away, potentially, from the creator, the person behind, the one behind the world that one's enjoying. And this can really happen. It doesn't flow naturally just because you're appreciating the gorgeous world that you all of a sudden be in love with Hashem. It doesn't flow at all. You know, you, as Rav Kelman pointed out, if you do a statistical study, you're not going to find people who live in gorgeous places like Switzerland are more religious and more God-fearing than people that live in rather, you know, unbeautiful places like Kansas and Wyoming. I'll say Kansas, like Kansas, right? It's not the case. And the reason why is because it doesn't necessarily flow that just because you look in the beautiful world, you will connect that back to Hashem. So it's an avodah all to itself, and a person should make their every effort to see Hashem's world and appreciate it. And there's a barachah, l'chisr b'olamo, all good things. But understand ikar and tuf, what's primary and secondary. And to interrupt one's learning to admire the world is really pushing aside the ikra, the main, and going for the tuflin instead, which is not okay. And I'll end with an amazing, eye-opening story that I saw with my own eyes, or at least I partially saw with my own eyes. I went to yeshiva for a time in Shar HaTorah in Queens, and the Rosh Yeshiva there was Rav Zelig Epstein, one of the last Rosh Yeshiva from the old world of Europe before the war. This was in Queens after the war, of course. And Rav Zelig Epstein, if you ever spoke to him, he'd always, it's very awkward, he always kind of looked you straight on because he never moved his neck, like his neck was like locked in place. And I asked, like, what had happened to Rosh Yeshiva that he was unable to move his neck. And the short version of the story is, I'll summarize here, is that when he was a kid back in, I think, in Grodno, back in the old country, there was a parade about the local occupying forces leaving. And, you know, there was, like, you know, whatever, in the parade, there was a lot of noise. And a bunch of the Bachim kind of, like, leaned and looked out the window to see what was going on from the Beis Midrash. And he did the same. And he realized, wow, you know, it's so easy to get distracted and to, like, just lean over and look. And he committed to himself that he's not going to move his neck anymore. He's either all in or all out. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu by the snap, by that burning bush, the Pasuk says, Moshe said, I'm now going to turn and look at the bush. It's just, he's just like knee-jerk reaction. If something's worth investigating, he gives it his full attention. And if not, he gives it zero attention. He's focused. So that's pretty extraordinary. I don't recommend that kind of extreme behavior. But the point is that a person needs to be focused. And when he's learning, he has to be like the Adam who's Yamas Ba'ohel, like the person who's like dead in the tent. He's dead to the world outside. His phone is off. His distractions are set aside so he can focus on Talmud Torah. And as wonderful as it is to appreciate the world around you and say, you know, Mana Ilan Hazel, what an amazing tree this is that Hashem made, even that is secondary to the possibility of developing a relationship with Hashem while one's learning his Torah.